From the audience who don't know Jamario, but I think maybe a lot of of you know him. But okay, so because we make always this introduction, so Jamario, I introduce, I speak again. how does one say the official biography? This means which you have authorized. Authorized. So Jamario Cacciatore is full professor in probability and mathematical statistics of University of Milano Bicocca. And in 92, he has received his PhD under the supervision of Giuseppe Tarpato and Jerzy Czacek. After holding a researcher position at the University of Florence, he worked as an associated professor at the University of Genoa from 1998 until 2002, followed by a full professorship at the University of Parma from 2002 until 2005. And in 2005, he moved to his current position at the University of Milano Bicocca. Okay, his research interests comprise stochastic optimal control, stochastic partial differential equations, stochastic evolution equations, intelligent Jacobian equations in infinite dimension, and related backwards stochastic differential equations, also very often in infinite dimension. And of course, this means Jamario has a very, how does one say, a very long list of publications. So this means, okay. Now then, okay, so I think you are introduced, and
Yeah.
I don't know, Stefan, if you allow, then we give now the word to Gianmario that he begins his talk, yes?
Yes, just confirming that you hear me well and you see my slides.
Yes.
Me, yes. Me,
Okay.
yes.
Fine.
So then I will listen.
So, thank you for to the organizers to inviting me. Some of them are old friends. Some of you know me well, but the young, probably the young ones not. So it's a pleasure to speak. This talk is based on a collaboration with Giuseppina Guattari from Politecnico di Milano, which is, let's say, a habitual collaborator for me, and then Franco Flandoli from Scuola Normale Superiore and Umberto Papalettera that was in Scuola Normale and now is in Bielefeld, who is a PhD student of Franco. The origin of the work was that while with Giuseppina we were interested into convergence of optimal control problems of two scale optimal control problems. We heard by Franco about his recent paper on approximation of stochastic models in climate modeling, and we just had the idea to see what happens if one adds a control and tries to use our techniques, which are essentially BSD techniques. I'm sorry for the BSD community. The BSD core of the paper of this work is well known, but there are subtleties in the application and in the framework that I think can be of interest. Just one thing, I'm really okay. I care about this specific paper because it will be included in a volume of Rendiconti Lincei, which will be devoted to the memory of Giuseppe da Prato, that was my PhD advisor. Okay, so let's start with general considerations. Which are, I think, general and let's say condivisible. Climate systems have an intrinsic multi-scale dynamic. meaning that there are variables that evolve at a weather scale and variables that evolve at climatic scale, which is much longer. It is completely reasonable and really spread point of view to include stochastic terms in the model. Okay? And in general, this will be the main feature of starting point of this paper. When the separation of scales between the fast phenomena that I call meteorological and the slow ones that are climatic goes to plus infinity, then we have a we prove at least when control is not involved a convergence of evolution towards a reduced model that describes only climatic evolution and which is much simpler than the combined one. I'm not an expert on climatic models, and I have to say that is this is what I will treat is a simplified version of a toy model in some sense. So it's really much easier than what is needed to have a reasonable to have a realistic modelization. Okay, like my introducer used to say, well, is habitually says, on cherche la lumière. We look where we have some light. Okay, so references. There is a apparently pioneering work by Hazelmann on stochastic climate models. Then there is this more precise paper by Maida and co-authors on specifically on model reduction in climatic models. Then there is a paper which was our inspiration by Hassing, Flandre and Papalettera on specifically on a class of stochastic model reduction results that will be our starting point in the simpler version. And these results were improved by Arnaud de Buch and Umberto Papalettera himself to general two-scale systems in fluid dynamics. Okay, always in the direction of proving convergence when the ratio between small evolution, slow evolution, and fast evolution goes to plus infinity. What is our point? As I said, and as one can imagine, knowing my interests, is what does it happen when we add control to these models? More precisely, do we have convergence of optimal costs, and which is normally much more difficult, convergence of optimal controls? But you will see these cases will be easier than general ones, and we will have in some cases also convergence of optimal controls by BSD representation. Okay, let us come to the model. I start from what was proved by Hassing, Flandre and Papalettera. They start with the slow evolution, which is sorry, which is this one. Okay, we start with the slow evolution and then with the simple, very simple in this case, then they go deeper. But in the simpler version, they have an evolution of fast evolving variables which can be modelized in this way. Okay, so X will stand for our slow variable, climatic evolution. Q epsilon will be the fast variable that evolves at a meteorological scale. We will take, not we, already in the paper by Flandoli, it is taken with values in an Hilbert space. Okay, W is a cylindrical Wiener process. And since we don't have operators here, don't have regularization here, we are forced to take G as Hilbert-Smith operator, while the slow variables in their model take value in a finite dimensional space and BS sigma are regular functions from RD to RD or from. Okay, what I said is that in the above paper, it was proved that as epsilon goes to zero, the solution x epsilon converges to the solution of a reduced stochastic equation that becomes a stochastic. Notice that the slow evolution was not in principle a SDE. Okay, now it becomes an SDE, and there is a correction in the drift that more or less says what is the general class of models we are treating, because this is the no the usual Itô-Stratonovich type of correction and is what you get if you try to prove convergence of models with the von Sakai regularized noise. And so this is the framework in which we move, is a kind of framework in which the forward evolution exhibits von Sakai regularization. I will be more specific afterwards. What we do, okay, we for a kind of habit, I start putting both equations in an Hilbert space, but here is not really crucial, but okay. So both are evolutions in Hilbert spaces. And we want to add a control that acts here. So the control acts as at meteorological scale. Okay, so it's this magnification one over epsilon means that this is the fast evolution, and we add a standard cost to be minimized. Okay. If you have questions, please stop me. Once more, the control acts at on the fast evolution, while J the cost depends only on U and on the slow variable. This is so a choice. Things works in this way. It's a kind of reasonable choice. I do not pretend that it is the crucial model in this area. Okay, it's just what we are able to do. We are able to include in a general framework, and clearly it is reasonable. If not, the main things to analyze in this area. So what we want to prove is exactly what I said before. We want to prove that the optimal cost, and this is not in some sense a surprise, but also the optimal controls for these problems, okay? For these problems with the two scale, for the two scale problems, converge towards a reduced control problem with the stochastic state equation and with the same control. Okay? So hat means always reduced system, and we want to prove a convergence as it works without control, a convergence of optimal controls and optimal costs towards the same parameters of a reduced problem. Okay, notice that in the reduced problem, as it is expected, the fast evolution disappears and is embedded in the coefficients and in the evolution that you get here. Okay, just one remark on what we are doing and what is this model and the differences with the with respect to two scale control problems that we have been treated in the past and that we treated as well with Giuseppina in the past. So if you rescale time, so you slow down the fast evolution, so Q check is Q at time epsilon s, then the fast dynamics takes this form here. And notice that in this form, not all epsilons disappear, but this coefficient here, 1 over square root of epsilon, stays. Okay? W epsilon is a rescaled Wiener process, but it's still a standard Wiener process, cylindrical Wiener process. So here we have a true magnification of order 1 over epsilon. So, in the model that Flandoli and Papalettera proposed, and that comes from previous literature, even in this modelistic literature, is not pointed as the most interesting. Both of them are very interesting. There are two features. Weather variable, the fast variables are evolving with an acceleration in time of order 1 or epsilon. But still, also, we have an expansion of noise of order 1 over square root of epsilon. What I call standard to scale control problems are exactly the control problems in which this coefficient is not present. So the fast evolving, the process that evolves at a fast scale, if you slow down time, as just an evolution where epsilon disappears. And this problem has been treated by several authors in the past, starting from the papers from the book by Kabanov and Pergamenchikov, and the papers by Alvarez and Bardi, which use viscosity solutions in finite dimensional case, and then by myself and Giuseppina in a couple of papers by BSD approach in the infinite dimensional case, and also by Zwieck by viscosity solution methods in infinite dimensions. And in some sense, the two approaches have different interests and different drawbacks. On one side, the BSD requires a lot on the structure of a control problem, while the deterministic approach through viscosity solution of AJB equation allows, for instance, control depending noise, allows a much more general structure. On the other side, it requires regularity of the coefficients and mainly trace class of the noise. So, but this is what will not be the object of my talk. It is just the framework when we do not ma magnify the noise. In heuristical way, what we expect here is a kind of von Zakkai approximation of the noise, and then a correction term, and then what I will present. On the other side, when this term is not present, where only the difference of scales plays a role, we have a kind, we expect averaging type of coefficients. But in the control case, this averaging is related to an invariant measure of a controlled process. So it is a In reality, it is the optimal control of an ergodic control problem. It turns out to be an optimal control of an ergodic control. As I said, the case I will present today is in some sense easier, and as a consequence, we are able to get convergence of optimal controls, which is, I think, almost completely out of scope of the results in the standard to scale case. Okay, so I spent enough time giving you the motivations, perhaps too much, and I would like to come to the general to the general framework. What I liked in this paper is that these kind of problems can be embedded in a general schema in which several different regularizations can be considered. So what I do, I consider a forward equation depending on epsilon, and epsilon appears here in the sense that I will consider regularization of the trajectories of the noise in some sense. I think it will be more understandable if I present what I ask on gamma epsilon. Gamma epsilon is a map that takes CADLAG processes into sorry, it takes a continuous Itosun semi-martingale into CADLAG processes. In such a way that the law of gamma I only depends on the law of I. Okay. The point is that you have to think, and I will write it, as gamma epsilon as a regularized, sorry, version of a derivative. Okay. I also introduce a controlled limit process in which, sorry, here, no, okay. This is my non-controlled state equation, and then I introduce a controlled state equation that to obey the structure that is needed to work by BSDs, essentially to apply Girsanov, has to be written in this way. So I have my control operator here, I integrate it, I apply the same matrix G, and then I apply this regularization of derivative. Okay. This framework fits well in our motivating example because if gamma epsilon is just the 1 over epsilon, the integral, the exponential minus epsilon 1 over epsilon, okay, then gamma epsilon of G integral of R plus GW is exactly Q. Okay. We have, if one considers gamma epsilon as a integral in the past of I, then what happens is that gamma epsilon of G R U plus G W is exactly our fast evolving variable. And as I said, heuristically, gamma epsilon are regularizations of the time derivative. Okay. So, in some sense, if it is the time derivative, if you have exactly R of U as you wish, and here you have a W point. Our work is devoted to control side of the results, and so we will always suppose that the uncontrolled evolution converges to a limiting stochastic evolution. Okay, so I assume that there exists ASD with coefficients B changed, become Z hat, such that X epsilon, so the evolution with gamma here. Okay, here in X epsilon here there is gamma converges to XA. Example, well, one is exactly the result by us in Flandre Papa Lettera, and another important example comes really from von Zakai approximation, in the sense that if gamma epsilon is the derivative of the smoothing of I, okay, it has to preserve progressive measurability. So I take a symmetric modifier, sorry. In this case, the convergence of x epsilon towards x hat is exactly von Zakai theorem. But in this framework, I think the best way to see it is within the framework of rough path, and it's proved in the book by, for instance, in the book by Fritz Haider, and in a forthcoming book by Francesco Caravenna, Massimiliano Gubinelli and Lorenzo Zambotti. Okay, so as you see, we are a bit more general than our model. Just everything is embedded in this gamma epsilon, and everything is embedded in this von Zakai convergence, what I call. Okay, so let's come back. We have our class of controlled equation with gamma epsilon here, and we have our costs. Okay, just again assumptions. A generates a strongly continuous semigroup, but nothing is really clever on assumptions. B and sigma are Lipschitz. W is a cylindrical Wiener process, but G is Hilbert-Schmidt, so nothing difficult here. To start with, we consider measurable and bounded R, so the control enters bound in a bounded way in the equation, and okay, L and H are Lipschitz. Okay, this will be the trivial case, but I want to illustrate for those who are not perhaps acquainted. Then the interesting point, I immediately say that the interesting point is when R will not be bounded, and in which the interaction between the weak formulation of a control problem and the fact that we have R unbounded generate some subtleties that are perhaps interesting also for experts in stochastic control and BSDs, even if the BSD results are standard, well, you will see. So we choose a weak form, so this will be very convenient to relate the BSD to the control problem, and also to prove convergence as epsilon goes to zero, because we will have a fixed probability space and a fixed probability under which we will operate. In the unbounded control case, this requires some subtleties. Okay, so start from the uncontrolled. This is an ordinary differential evolution equation. We define the costs by the standard Gear-Sanoff procedure. So we consider a exponential martingale, and we integrate not with respect to the original probability, but with this modified one. This is, I think, this will be of interest only for very very young audience, or for audience of far from BSD and stochastic control, we know by heart. If we introduce this new probability, which has this density, then we have a new Brownian Wiener process, which is with respect to PU, which has this form here. The equation with respect to satisfied by x epsilon is exactly our state equation, but now with respect to w, w, okay, and the cost has exactly this form. I do not spend much more time. We approach that in a standard way by BSDs. In the boundary control case, the Hamiltonian psi is Lipschitz. We assume that it has a minimum. We introduce our BSDE, which is the BSD formulation of H Hamilton Jacobi Bellman equation. In the Lipschitz case, we have to come back to Pardoux-Peng to know that it admits a unique solution with the Y continuous trajectory, Z is an NL2, and in this weak formulation case, it is straightforward that Y epsilon at zero is the optimal cost, while the optimal controls is given in terms of a minimizing map U bar computed in X epsilon, Z epsilon. Notice that here is not my state equation is not SDE. Okay, I don't want to go. The state equation is not SDD, but this particular structure and the BSDE approach is just related to Ghisanov transform, not to the fact that our state equation is a BSD, is a SDE. Okay, we do the same for the reduced control problem. We notice that this cost here corresponds to a control state equation that calls into play the modified coefficient B hat. We introduce a corresponding BSDE that now has X hat. Same thing, there exists a solution, and the solution still represents the Y part represents the optimal cost, and the Z part can be used to represent the optimal controls. So once we have these two representations, which we know are true by since a lot of time, to have the convergence of the optimal costs and of the optimal controls is enough to prove the convergence of the solution of the two components of a solution of a BSD. But in the Lipschitz case, this is just a Itô rule applied to the square of y epsilon minus y hat, because we almost immediately have this estimation where the difference of y plus the mean value of the integral of the difference of z is estimated by x h x epsilon minus h x hat, difference in the final value and difference in the forcing term. And by our assumptions, this goes to zero in a straightforward way. Okay, let's come to the that was easy and was known except from the general framework. Let's come to where there are some subtleties to deal with. So we take the same control problem with the same assumptions, but now we assume that R is measurable and has a most linear growth. Okay, we assume just to take a notation to not to complicate too much the notation as far as the lecture is given, we assume that R is 0 in 0. Okay. And we also assume that R depends. Oh, sorry, here I did not write dependence in X. If there is a dependence in X, there is no problem as far as it is Lipschitz. And what do we assume on L, on the cost on L? We assume coercivity with respect to U. and Lipschitzianity uniformly Lipschitzianity with respect to X. Okay? Coercivity and boundedness, Lipschitzianity and boundedness with respect to X, because notice that for fixed U, then Lx is smaller than a constant with respect to X. So it's a kind of a specific set of assumptions made to make our techniques works, but it is the old idea of looking where we can see something. Okay, and H is Lipschitz unbounded as L with respect to X. What we want is that we do not want to add assumptions on U. We just want, since L is coercive in U, we just want to assume that the mean that the L2 norm omega times 0t of U is bounded. Okay? This is required by the coercivity of L because otherwise the cost will be plus infinity. So, what are the subtles? What the questions that arise in this case? The questions is remember that we want to stick to a weak formulation of a control problem. So the point is how to give sense to this weak formulation because we cannot easily do Girsanov. Okay? Because this term here is not a martingale. In general, for U only in L2 omega times 0t is not a martingale. So we have two questions, how to give a weak formulation, and then together with that, what is the natural class of admissible controls? Well, our answer was that the admissible class of the natural class of admissible controls is arises in a more or less in a natural way by the technique that you would like to use. And the technique is a standard truncation technique. So we define a stopping times where this norm exceeds n, where the L2 norm of trajectory exceeds n. We truncate the controls, and we define the class of admissible controls as these controls where I can estimate, I can bound the norm in PU probability. Notice what happens here. I'm truncating, I'm using the change of probability. So this means that here I'm computing the mean with respect to my new probability. But this is natural. It is just asking that the sup in n of the norm with respect to the changed probability of the controls truncated to n does not explode. So this seemed to me to have some interest as a class and to be natural to introduce. And this condition is enough to do everything essentially. Because we prove that for you in this class, this sequence, as it should be, is a non-decreasing sequence that has a finite limit. Then we prove that our costs, notice that we are truncating, but the sequence of the truncated, the cost corresponding to the truncated controls turns out to be a Cauchy sequence. The proof is simple, I just report it. For truncated U, E, the Dolehan's martingale is a martingale, so we can estimate with this difference here, just taking into account what happens after the when. And then we estimate it by what happens between tau n and tau m, plus remember that we have to estimate the probability essentially that tau n is larger than t, and the whim is larger than t. But the last two terms can be estimated easily by Markov inequality. Notice that in Markov inequality, I still have this quantity that was the quantity I was assuming to stay bounded. It is kind of a natural L2 norm of controls, L2 in omega times 0 t. Okay? And so by Markov property, they go to 0. And the other term can be easily estimated again in terms of these. Since we are assuming that L is quadratic in nu, can be estimated by an expression in which only the square norm of U appears. And again, by our assumptions, this sequence is Cauchy. The same thing holds for the final cost. And then we deduce that under our requirement of having of working with admissible controls in that funny sense, the cost function is well defined. Okay, and what happens now? Well, people from a BSD community more or less expects this. When R is not bounded, then psi is quadratic in Z. But we know since 2000 that quadratic in Z is not a big problem. And so what are the properties of Hamiltonian? It is quadratically growing in Z. It is Lipschitz in X. And it is locally Lipschitz in Z. We always assume that the infimum of psi is achieved. So there exists U bar that minimizes the Hamiltonian, and that this U bar has this Lipschitzianity with respect to X. So there is a term that depends linearly in Z, and then I have the minimum between 1 and X minus X prime. This assumption seems strange, but it is what sorry, it seems that this page is not liked by my program. I hope you can see. I don't know. Program does not like this page, but you notice that if we consider L, which is just L0 plus the square of U, then psi is exactly quadratic in Z and U bar is 1/2 Z. So the assumptions are satisfied. We are dealing with quadratic BSD, so since the work by Philippe Briand and Fulvia Confortola, we know that BMO norms are the right tool to apply. A continuous local martingale is BMO if the sup of the difference between the bracket in tau and in the final time t conditioned is bounded, essentially bounded. So this is the definition of generally BMO norm of a martingale, where tau is the set of topping times. And in the book by Kazamaki, there are interesting properties of these BMO martingales, which were exploited by Philippe in his work. And for instance, if a martingale is a binary integral, then the BMO norm is essentially given by this kind of norm of integrands. Okay. is an essential aboundedness requirement. If the M5 is BMO, then the L2 norm of trajectory is in LP for all P with the bound depending on BMO norm of M. And what is more important, and was the discovery at the time, was that the exponential martingale, if M is BMO, is uniformly integrable. So it's really the exponential local martingale is uniformly integrable, and it so is a real martingale. And you have also an estimate of Q norm for Q larger than 1, close to 1, but larger than 1. Using these results, proceeding from the very well-known work of Magdalena Kobylansky, Philibrian and Fulvio Confortola proved existence and uniqueness of a solution of a quadratic BSDE and a norm on a norm of in y for in C infinity for y, a bounded norm of y, and a BMO norm of z that in our framework says that it does these norms are uniform in epsilon, which is essential for the following. What we did is to apply a modification of these arguments to prove that. To prove that the optimal cost and the optimal controls converge. Okay, so to prove convergence of y epsilon and convergence of z epsilon to y hat and z hat. Okay, what we do now, it's I'm repeating myself, but it's different. Than before, we do the same. Sorry. No, let's go with the needed times. I have 10 minutes. So, what we did, sorry, the convergence is afterwards. What we did is to prove that under this framework, the representation holds for y epsilon. Okay, we have a solution of BSD, and so we prove that the optimal cost is y epsilon, and the optimal control is given in terms of z epsilon. Okay, this is, let's say, generalized to our case. Remember that also the class of admissible controls is not trivial, so we have to work a bit, and mainly we have to work to assure that this U epsilon given here is in this funny admissible class. Once we did it for Y epsilon, we do the same for the limiting control. And we have a solution of this limiting BSDE. The solution has the same bounds as the solution Y epsilon Z epsilon. And in particular, this solution represents the optimal cost and the optimal controls of a reduced problem. Now we come to our main, let's say, result, which is proving in this framework convergence of optimal costs and optimal controls. Clearly, this is not a surprise. This is done just by proving convergence of y and z, convergence of the two parts of the solutions of our quadratic BSD. Okay? And at this level, it's just a question of applying that in the proper way, but the idea by Philippe still works. In the sense that we linearize, so we write y tilde is the difference between y epsilon and y hat. We linearize it introducing this term k, which is the linearized version of psi z minus psi z hat, okay? And F epsilon is just the difference of psi. Sorry, here it should be z hat. Okay, because I'm doing sum and subtract, but I forgot to report it here. Sorry. Okay, so we have a perturbing term that the difference depends on x epsilon minus x hat. We have a linearized version that grows like z minus z hat. Okay. And we know that our solutions to the BSDE were BMO, were processes that gave rise to a BMO martingale. So also my K epsilon is a process that such that this integral is a BMO martingale. Okay, so and notice that here. This is true because here you had z hat. And then you have an estimate for f. But what is essential is that the linearized, we know a priori that the linearized K is BMO. And then we proceed using what we know of BMO. So we can get rid of this term by a further Gersanov argument. We get rid of this term by a change of probability with this density. So this is not present, and more or less we repeat standard or well-known arguments to estimate first between the with respect to this new probability and then with respect to the original one the norm of the difference of y minus epsilon z hat minus z epsilon. So I have this equation, I get rid of that, I compute the mean value, I have something that looks like this one, but with respect to a new probability. Okay, but the Kazamaki estimate tells me that I can come back. And coming back, I do not give all details. I have this estimate, which is the estimate that I need. Then, okay, it's quite easy. Again, by Kazamaki, I know that the sequence of integrals is uniformly integrable. So, if we prove convergence in probability, we get convergence in mean. And converges in probability by this estimate. Sorry, there is no E. Comes from our, remember that we have for the uncontrolled equation a general, what I call von Sakai type assumption. Okay, and then, okay, I have also estimate on Z, and so I can prove convergence of the mean value of the forcing term F epsilon. In the same way, I have convergence of the final value, so I finally have convergence of the difference of Y and of the difference of Z. And this by what we know. Well, the difference of Y immediately tells me that I have a convergence of optimal costs. And then what I know, it's not completely trivial, but what I know on the regularity of U immediately tells me that also the optimal controls, the difference of the optimal controls converge to zero. And so I have my general convergence result. I think okay, I'm more or less on time, and I will stop here. Thank you very much.
Now we thank